I can't bring them dinner at 8 o'clock. It doesn't help them. It's not something that's productive for them. Make sure it's done at the proper time, in the appropriate time. Sages teach us one who fulfills a mitzvah as it was commanded, nullifies even a harsh decree of 70 years, as it says, since the king's word is law, who will say to him, what are you doing? Following this, it says, one who guards the mitzvahs will know no evil. Also from Koheles. Mitzvahs should be made beautiful through the objects used to perform them. A lulav, a talis, a sefer Torah, a similar object should be beautiful. Through these objects, others will take note of the beauty of the mitzvah and praise the one who fulfills it. I always talk about, many times, this idea of tashmishei kedusha, tashmishei mitzvah, different things we use for mitzvahs and kedusha. Those things should be beautiful. I love my talis, my weekday talis. I love my talis, my Shabbos talis. We got to take care of it, make sure it stays beautiful. Rambam explains his mission, discusses midos. These should be directed towards the middle way, the golden mean. That's the best possible path. It's honorable for the one who follows it because it purifies his heart, renews the spirit within him. It brings him honor from others because it teaches him how to deal with them in a fitting manner. An example of this is the midah of generosity. A vile person will no longer be called charitable. A miser will not be said to be generous, and yet excessive spending can be extremely detrimental. What then is generosity at its best? Caring enough about money to look after it sensibly, consulting others about how to use it best. In this way, spending is orderly and planned so there's enough for personal needs and also enough to give to the proper recipients as well. The same as other midos. They're good when we guide them to the middle path. This way of life is honorable for the one who does it, brings him honor from others. Veering too far in either direction is harmful. Be careful with minor mitzvahs. You don't know the reward for them. The punishments for transgressions have been revealed to us. Some sins are punishable by kares, in which both the sinner and offspring die. Others are punishable by heaven, death sentence, which only the sinner himself dies. Some are punished by one of the four death penalties, skila, shreifa, hederik, bechenek, meted out by the earthly bezdin. That's stoning, burning, decapitation, and strangulation, respectively. Negative commandments are generally punished by bezin with 40 lashes. By rabbinic decree, transgression of rabbinically ordained commandments is also punished by 40 lashes. Torah tells us nothing of the rewards given for mitzvahs, neither for major nor minor ones, except for a few exceptions. So just talk about this with a parable. A king instructed his servant to plant an orchard and cultivate the trees without telling them which type of trees he personally preferred. He didn't want them to plant only the trees that he knew they liked and he liked, because then the garden as a whole would be deficient, lacking many varieties. Similarly, if God had revealed the reward he gives for mitzvahs, everyone would concentrate only on those mitzvahs that yield greater reward, while the mitzvahs with lesser rewards would be ignored. That comes from Medrash Tanhuma. Lacking this information, man could treat all mitzvahs only equally, because he does not know which mitzvahs are minor and which are major. But Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, redacted the Mishnah, gives us a most compelling reason not to neglect what we consider to be minor mitzvahs. You don't know the reward for mitzvahs. Even a minor mitzvah brings it with it limitless reward. You should take great care not to lose out on its immense spiritual profit. Our sages cite the verse, when you chance upon a bird's nest, we just talked about the Shiluach HaKeim. You should send away the mother, take the young for yourself. It will be good for you and prolong your days. That comes from Devarim. If regarding a mitzvah that costs a few cents and a few seconds, the Torah says an order will be good for you in the world to come, which is entirely good, and you will have length of days in the eternity of the world to come, how much more so is this true of the major mitzvahs in the Torah? And this comes from Chulin, how they explain how to go about the mitzvahs using the example of Shiluach HaKeim. Consider the loss of a mitzvah against its reward. Your heart may tempt you, try to make you not fulfill a mitzvah. How can I do this mitzvah? It will cost me a fortune. It's too difficult. I don't have time. Your response should be, the reward we will receive for doing it is worth many thousand times more than the loss incurred. If we take this attitude, doing these good deeds, these mitzvahs, financial considerations will not stop us from doing mitzvahs. Based on the language of Bamidbar and the context there, it reads, if we take this attitude, God will not withhold us from honor. I say all the time to my wife, my family, friends, everybody, money comes and goes, but happiness, mitzvahs, memories are what always remain. Hashem could give you money. Hashem could take away your money, but you can never lose the mitzvah you did. You won't lose ever by doing good for your wife, for doing good for your kids, for doing mitzvahs and chesed for others. Hashem will get you the money back. Hashem will take care of you. Don't worry how much it costs. Granted, you cannot deplete your entire bank account, but giving a little more tzedakah, giving them to another family who had a baby, another family who needs to sleep over, who wants to come over, who wants to be part of your meal, you're not going to lose. Hashem will get you back. Hashem will make it more than worth your while. Think about the prophet of sin. Again, it's punishment. A wicked heart may prosper and whisper, I could make so much money through this sin. The profits and benefits are enormous, but how can I not do it? Beware of this trap. Consider instead the ultimate loss. It will be hundreds of times greater than the immediate profit. The future suffering will be much longer and much greater than any fleeting benefit. You take this to heart, you will give up the sin, because no one wants a profit that causes a much greater loss. And think about the three things. Know what's above you. The eye that sees and ear that hears, and your actions are recorded in a book. Those are all things that Hashem does. He sees, he hears, he knows, he writes it down. In other words, Hashem sees all, knows all man's actions, remembers everything as if it were recorded in writing before him. He will repay bad actions with bad consequences. Why are these things listed as separate items, when really they're the same, just different aspects of the same concept? Tells us that Hashem knows everything. Only he will know everything and will repay man in keeping with his deeds. Why list them as 3 points when it's all the same thing? Rabbeinu Yonah says we can explain this with a parable, I feel. In the presence of kings, ministers, scholars, or other prominent people, anyone would be ashamed to speak or act inappropriately. So too, one should constantly be aware he is literally in God's presence at all times. This awareness will deter him from sinful acts. He will also guard his tongue and watch his words, thereby guarding his soul from troubles. Language that comes from Mishlei. That's why the Mishnah lists the eye that sees, the ear that hears as two separate entities. The all-seeing eye of God observes our actions. His all-hearing ear listens to what we say. This doesn't, God forbid, refer to an actual physical eye or ear. Hashem has no physical form, of course. Rather, it means that nothing is hidden from him. No word can be kept secret from him. The third thing, all your actions recorded in a book, teaches us Hashem doesn't forget. Everything is recorded in heaven as if it were written in a book. In the end, Hashem will repay man according to his deeds and actions. If only he would reflect on his punishments that he will receive for his sins, he would refrain from sins. That's why it says, look at three things, and you will not come to sin. So remember this wonderful advice of Rebbe, who's one of the best people to give advice. He wrote down all the Mishnayos. He got the tradition to stay with us. He figured out how to do that. What is the right way? Thinking about what brings glory to Hashem, what brings glory to the world around us, doing the proper way of doing Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. Be careful with all types of mitzvahs. You don't know the reward. Everything should be done to make the world better. Think about what you gain by missing out on the mitzvah. You don't gain anything. You're losing that opportunity. You'll never get it back. You won't lose out. Hashem will get you back. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about the time involved. Granted, you take care of your wife and your kids and your responsibilities, but don't worry about other things. Hashem will take care of you. Understand what you really lose when you do an Avera. Understand Hashem is always listening, always watching, is always there. All your deeds will be recorded. In this way, we could hopefully live a much better way, as all of Mishnah's and Pirkei Avos try to teach us. Join us next time as we talk about Talmud Torah learning with Derech Eretz. God forbid, not without Derech Eretz, here on the PAL with Reb T, and I'm your host, Reb T.